Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show and Happy New Year.
Jim, thank you for having me and Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners. So, everyone, Happy New Year.
So, Tim, what do you think is going to happen here in the new year?
Well, let's talk about that. But first, let me digress briefly back to 2023. You know, as we pushed into the high in August, from that point, I knew that the setup, as bearish as I am on things, I knew that the top in August, July, depending on which index you're looking at on the industrials, I think it was August 1st, that the high in August was not the high because this, you know, I didn't have everything I needed to see to mark a top. And so I said all the way down into the August low, we would better or should better the August high, which obviously we have. And so as we move now into 2024, that box has been checked, high is bettered, and that gives us, with that hurdle out of the way now, it gives us the opportunity for the setup to occur. And when I say setup, I'm looking for a couple things. You know, I think we need to see this four-year cycle top in equities. And at a higher level, bigger picture, we need to see the setup for this long-term six economic cycle going back to 1800 that I've identified that I think is so critical. And I suspect that this top in equities is going to coincide with the setting up of that long-term economic cycle. I think, you know, this is a process to see that longer-term setup. I suspect that it's probably going to take us into summer, maybe well into summer, based on the other attempted setups. This will be the third attempted setup. But, you know, it's a process. Maybe it happens a little sooner. Maybe it happens a little later. But I've dissected this thing, and I have identified the guideposts along the way to map us through this setup. But we're not there yet. I think the process has begun as we move into 2024. And the essence of it is I look for this third attempted setup to happen in 2024, probably into the summer.
So you can tell me about the previous two setups.
Well, Jim, that was all part of the extension of the bubble. You know, we've all known for years, you know, it's just like, you know, shut up with that already. Everybody's talking about it. But we have known for years that we have been in a bubble. We just, you know, I certainly didn't recognize, didn't understand until the discovery of this sixth long-term economic cycle. And a lot of other economists and technicians have also been talking about this, but and again, I don't think anybody has realized the magnitude of what we're dealing with. I mean, this is the biggest bubble in history. I mean, ever. I mean, it dwarfs. I've shown, you know, monetarily. I mean, it dwarfs the South Sea bubble. I mean, it dwarfs everything in history. There's nothing that compares to it. And so we've seen, you know, at this bubble. I feel like that, you know, the organic top of the market, you know, tried to occur back in 2000. And, you know, looking at some of the underlying economic data, I believe that's 100% the case. And, of course, coming out of the 2002 low is when we started to see a heavier hand by the Fed, and you know, and then to the managed economy and bridging the gap and that sort of thing, to you know, try to refuel, you know, the economy. And in the process, coming out of the 2002 low, they created the and by the way, to clarify, coming out of the 2002 low is where the sixth long-term economic cycle began. And moving into the 2007 high, by due to the fuel provided by the intervention, we saw the longest extension of a four-year cycle advance in the history of the stock market, leading into that top. And I said at that time, you know, I knew that, and I said at that time, you know, based on statistics and, you know, the things that I do, I said that we would go below or should go below the 2002 low. And then once we got that top in October, the setup was there, and we did indeed go below the 2002 low. That was the first attempt at this downturn out of this sixth long-term economic cycle. And to remind everyone, it resulted in the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. We all forgot about that. That you know, that's the term they used. And then, of course, coming out of that low is when we saw all the QE and all the nonsense that happened, and it pushed, you know, we pushed into the 2018 time frame. And in 2018, you know, in 17, the market bought the Trump euphoria, Make America Great Again, all that, the jobs and so forth that was allegedly being created. And we pushed into a really peaky major top in early 18, and then again in like August, I think it was, of 18, kind of had a little double top thing. There was a decline into late 18, and there was a sort of an attempt to peak there. But then as we moved into 19, you know, we had another push up that carried us into early 20. And all throughout that 18-19 period, we were really on the ragged edge with the economy, and we started to see in very late 18 and early 19, looking back on it, because I wasn't aware of this data at the time, but looking back on it now and having identified the sixth long-term economic cycle and the tools to track it and monitor and gauge it, if you will, in the setup, we were seeing the setup take place or beginning to take place in that late 18 into 19 period. 19 was really a thin ice situation. And then the setup did fall in place. I got structure on the four-year cycle top in equities and called it, saw it, and identified it. And things just fell apart very, very quickly, as everybody knows. And that was a second attempt. And of course, we all are familiar with, you know, the efforts, you know, the COVID stimulus that followed, the supply chain disruptions that caused the inflation, which helped to reinflate, which is part of what, you know, the COVID reinflation program was really all about from the financial side, intended or otherwise. That's how it worked out. And then I've talked about the engineered rate hiking cycle. That was part of the reinflation as well. And so they've reinflated and pushed this thing into another top. The four-year cycle top, there was a four-year cycle top in 22, a short, odd cycle, and then down into, 22. And I think that was a very short, the way I count it, because it you can't look at a cycle and go 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, that's, you know, the math equates, so that's a four-year cycle. So there's specific, you know, cycles breathe, they contract, they expand. And there's some specific markers I'm looking at. But long story short, every indication is that we saw a very short, unusual four-year cycle low in 22. And now with this bettering of the August high of the way, and I'm starting to see the very early preliminary setup trying to take place with this long-term economic cycle. And this will be the third attempt within. So there's a number of ends that have to work to the middle here. One, we have this, like I said, the process of the long-term sixth economic cycle having to set up. But then within the context of that, we have the process of the peaking of the equities with this four-year cycle top. And so I'm looking at that. And we have to, you know, one, you know, they're obviously related, and so it's a process of monitoring now. But what I see, I think, is, you know, that process continues into the summer, you know, mid to late summer probably. Maybe something happens and it occurs earlier. If it does, I'll see it. You know, I know what I'm looking for. And but based on the other examples, I think we push into the summer. And then once these pieces, parts are in place, I see the perfect setup for the perfect political, economic storm. And it coincidentally is occurring. I say political because this is all occurring as we move into an election year. And I hope I'm wrong, but I expect if this setup does fall into place, and I have every reason to believe that it will, I expect that as we move into the election, we're going to be set up, pardon my language, before the perfect shitstorm. And then that's really going to set the stage for the ugliness to escalate into 25, 26 as this long-term sixth economic cycle really begins to bear down.
What are some of the key signs you look for the setup?
Well, I mean, I'm looking obviously at the signs of the top in equities. I'm looking at the rate hiking cycle, which I think has concluded. That's part of it. I'm watching the cyclical structure of commodities. There's some things I want to see there. The CRB, for example, the commodity index, it is lagging. We had a long-term low in early 23, and it's lagging. It hasn't participated. In other words, hadn't made new highs like equities. That's part of the setup. But there's some structural things that I want to see with the CRB. There's and then structural evidence of the top in equities. And I want to see the Fed start to cut. I want to see this confirmation that this rate hiking cycle has concluded, and then it all boils down to structure of the market.
Now,
structure of the market.
Yeah. Now, so many people cheer lower interest rates, but Larry Williams, for example, points out lower interest rates mean there's less money in circulation, and that's actually bad.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if things are so good, listen. This sounds like doublespeak, and I guess in this case it kind of is. But you have to put your mind around it. So, how do I even begin to explain this? Historically, when the 3-month T-bill, the Fed follows the 3-month T-bill. Whether people believe it or not, it's fact. Their tool is they can influence that T-bill by what they say. And so if they want to try to drive rates up, then they can jawbone and talk about raising rates and the marketplace, of course, don't fight the Fed. And so the market will get behind the Fed's talk, the momentum gathers, and rates start to turn, and then Feds, they can accomplish their mission by raising. And vice versa. typically, on the vice versa, when you get to in this case anyway, and in 2018, the Fed was talking, and I remember it like yesterday, they were talking about future rate hikes in late 2018. I mean, the economy was on edge, as I said earlier in the interview, in 2018 and into 19. I mean, all of the economic data we were being given was complete nonsense. When you actually look at the data. And that was all an attempt to keep this thing going, to keep that cycle from, that setup, if you will, in effect, the setup with the sixth economic cycle from turning down. And the Fed, they talked in December, I digress, but in December they were talking tough, we're going to raise, going to raise, going to raise. And then the bond market turned on a dime, and I don't know if people may remember, but then the very next Fed meeting, I mean, they just all of a sudden, they turned. It was a hot topic of the time how they just all of a sudden turned dovish. Well, why? Because the bond market checkmated them. And they turned, and it gave the appearance that, you know, they made the turn, but no, the reality is they're following the market. And so what I'm saying is their influence works until it doesn't, and then when it doesn't, they have to follow the market. So what happened coming out of in 2020, 2021, there was a bounce in short-term rates coming out of the 2020 low, and then in the spring, rates got, you know, they started drifting lower throughout 20 and into early 21, mid-21, the spring of 21, the short-term rates were about to go negative. And that it was from that point that the Fed started the reverse repo operations and started really, you know, understanding what was happening, looking at it. They were really starting to panic. That's where they started talking about the rate hiking cycle to fight inflation and all this kind of stuff. And you say, yeah, well, they always raise rates to fight inflation. Not when the rates were where they were and headed down. And this inflationary cycle, again, I remind everybody, was supply chain driven. So they engineered the rate hiking cycle. And before the first rate hike ever occurred, there's a signal that I watch, and it's 100%. I mean, this thing it's accurate. And when the 3-month T-bill moves above the discount rate, it's always marked the top of a rate hiking cycle. Now, in 80-81, it fired twice before that rate hiking cycle, you know, was concluded, but it capped even that top. And this signal has capped other rate hiking cycles along the way. It's extremely accurate, and it fired, telling us that we were at the top of a rate hiking cycle. In other words, that the interest rates were failing. They were trying to go negative in the spring of 21, and this thing was firing then, saying don't raise. But they had to reinflate. It was part of the reinflation program to keep this sixth economic cycle alive, or to push it up one more time. And that signal fired all the way up, saying, don't raise, we're at a top, don't raise, we're at a top, don't raise, we're at a top. Well, now, I mean, this is in its infancy, but it appears that we're at a point where, like back in December of 2018, the market has checkmated, you know, or the Fed, so to speak. I think they're in a corner where the rate hiking cycle has concluded, and that they're going to be forced to start to cut, and so that will be perceived as positive and stimulus for the market. I mean, it was once they started cutting in 2000, late 2000, well, early 2019. I don't remember exactly when the first cut was. Looking at the short-term rates, they peaked in late 2018. I don't have the data in front of me. I don't remember when the first cut occurred in 19, but they did start cutting, and they cut well before the market peaked in early 20. And so that was viewed as, you know, stimulus, as positive, but in reality it was not. So I think a lot of it depends on the long answer is, Jim, I think it depends on the environment you're in. And in the environment we're in with this long-term sixth economic cycle, with equities and you know, the underlying economic conditions and it's this rate hike, this next, when they start to cut, yes, it's probably going to be stimulative to the market. They'll probably perceive it that way. But in reality, I think it's all part of the setup for the capping of the sixth economic cycle.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, what's your outlook for gold?
Pretty much the same as with you know, with commodities in general. You know, talking about commodities peaking with this everything bubble. picking it apart a little bit, we had an intermediate and longer term cycle low back in October, and that's still on the upswing. I suspect that it's probably peaked. There was an even longer term low. I think the 9-year cycle low bottomed in 22, and that's still on the upswing. But what my suspicion is that we get something called a left translated 9-year cycle where it peaks left of center, which is very bearish. And I think, long story short, is I think gold we push into a top probably with everything else, and maybe gold's already peaked. I don't know that yet. I don't have evidence of that yet is a better statement. But I think that there is going to be a setup with gold that will somewhat coincide with that with equities and the general commodity market. And then unfortunately, I know people don't want to hear it, but it is what it is with the setup. Even in 2008, gold continued higher. After equities had turned down, but then ultimately, gold turned down into a 9-year cycle low there. Granted, gold moved higher into 2011, but then it turned back down into 15-16 time frame, and then we've been on another 9-year cycle up into the 20 top. But now the setup, I digress, but the setup here is that I think that a left translated 9-year cycle top in gold will coincide with this coming peak with equities and this attempted downturn out of the 6 long-term economic cycle, which is not a positive thing for gold. It doesn't look like at this point.
Mm-hmm. What about crude?
The same. Exactly the same. Crude oil, I think, all commodities, I believe, you'll remember even crude oil. When you move into a deflationary environment, and that's what we're talking about, I mean, I know that this last post-2020 period has been extremely inflationary. And to talk about deflation sounds like you've lost your mind. But this inflation, this has been supply chain driven. It has all been a part of the reinflation effort to keep the 6th economic cycle alive. And so it was a play. And now, as we move into the period to get to this set up with the 6th long-term economic cycle, the downturn, that's deflationary again. So I think, as this thing takes hold, and assuming that it does, then the setup will be deflationary. And that's what they've been trying to prevent since 2020. Every downturn that we've seen, they have provided stimulus. Why? To prevent the deflationary effect. And so that's what we saw post-COVID, post-2020, was, a stimulus to cause the inflation. And so it was a deliberate thing, and it was created by the supply chain problems. But anyway, I digress. So as we move into this, I know that it should be deflationary, and I think, crude oil is going to be no different than any other commodity.
Your outlook for the U.S. dollar?
This is, you talk about some contrary thinking. In a deflationary environment, cash is going to be king. And the dollar, there was a short and intermediate term low in late December. I don't know what the dollar's doing today. I haven't looked at it. And that low is in place. I think we have an intermediate term low. I think it's counter trend. I think that this advance in the dollar is counter trend. Don't know how long it's going to go up until I get structure that says it's, in a short-term sell signal and in an intermediate-term sell signal. It's positive right now coming out of that low. I think it's counter trend. There's another push down into the dollar or into, the 4-year cycle low in the dollar. And then, just looking at it from this vantage point, it may occur a little sooner, may occur a little earlier. You work your, as you see the structure fall in place, as you get there, I can zero in on it. But at this point, my guesstimate is that the next four-year cycle low in the dollar will occur sometime in probably mid-year. And from there, that's going to mark a four-year cycle low. And I think that's going to be extremely bullish for the dollar. And that actually coincides with, if you think about it, and this thought just occurred to me as we're speaking, but that's just what I said about equities, is that I thought that the setup there would move into the summer months, and that's where it looks like this next four-year cycle low in the dollar will occur. So to clarify myself, right now we have a low. It's counter trend, the advance, and then I think we turn down into a major low in the dollar in mid-24. And then from there, I think in the deflationary downturn, the dollar is going to be very strong. If you look at the dollar, since 2008, if someone has the ability to look at a long-term chart, the dollar has been making higher and higher and higher lows. Every one of the four-year cycle lows have been higher and higher, which is a very positive thing. I know everybody, it's popular to talk about the demise of the dollar. I get that. I understand it's backed by nothing. I understand it's worthless. I'm not arguing that point, none whatsoever. I go to the grocery store the same as everybody else. But I'm just telling you, looking at the dollar index, and I think that the future is still bright at this point for the dollar as we move into that setup with the long-term six economic cycle.
So, Tim, basically what you're saying is we're in the calm before the storm?
Absolutely, the eye of the storm. I mean, we're in 24, and listen, here's the only variable. Here's the only variable. This thing has been going on for 20 years. And like I said, it started in 2000. I can't even say it anymore. It started in 2000, and coming out of the 2002 low, the efforts to save and reinflate, and there's been two attempts, the long-term six economic cycle has tried to turn down twice, again, 07 and 2020. It's going to try to turn down again. That's an assurity as the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the evening. That's going to happen. And we are dealing with the biggest economic or bubble in the history of mankind. That is a fact. And yes, it's gone on a whole hell of a lot longer than most anyone, including myself, could ever have imagined. That is a fact. But it's also a fact that there will be another setup. And the question is, I think that setup's going to come this year. Don't know. Follow the data, and it leads me where it leads me. But I think it's all going to happen, like I said, in the summer, or as we move into the summer at very least. And then it's also a fact that when that setup occurs, it's going to turn down. And the only variable is, can they save it again? And if they can, then let me paint that picture. What that means is we're going to see more of the inflationary, high prices, high real estate prices, the same stuff. We're going to see a reinflation, just like we saw coming out of the 08 low or coming out of the 2000 low. We saw with what happened with the housing bubble in 2006, 7, 8. And then it resulted in, the collapse into 08, 09. And then coming out of 08, 09, we've seen the same thing, the reinflation, higher prices. I bought $20 worth of groceries today at the grocery store for $50. You know, so we're going to see more of that bullshit going on if they save it again. And if they don't save it again, then we're going to see, who knows what we're going to see, but it's the end of this is out there. And I'm just saying that the next opportunity for it to set up is I think dead ahead in 24, and I think it's all going to be coming to pass with the in the time frame going leading into the election. And like I said, the only variable, I mean, I don't know, you don't know, I don't think they know if they can save it again. I think they do the best they can. to try, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, the third time, I don't know. I mean, how much worse can this get if they do? So what's so looking at it another way, what's worse, that it collapses and they can't save it, or we keep on with this stagnant economy and the inflationary pressures that has resulted from the attempt to save it? Which one's worse? So anyway, that's where we are. And like I said, the only variable is can they? I don't know.
Tim, if somebody wanted to check out your research, is there any way to do that?
Yes, Jim. Anyone wanting to follow this is going to be my focus, this identifying this sixth long-term economic cycle, the setup with equities. It's a, like I said, it's a process, and this is exactly what I'll be covering in the research letters. I have the tools to monitor the aggressiveness of the Fed and, you know, to gauge their sensitivity to the developments, and that is exactly what we're going to be following as we move into 2024, or through 2024 and into this setup. So absolutely, that is available, obviously, in the research letters.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.